Praise New Beginnings. Those of you who know, maybe have been following the lectionary on your own, and you're saying, wait a minute. This should have been preached a couple of weeks ago. It should have been. But I don't think we should have skipped over the story of John the Baptist. And so that is why we are actually preaching and reading scripture that would have been read 3 weeks ago, frankly. Old ways, new beginnings. Those who have ever been graced by the experience of being out on a body of water at a precise moment when sky and still wet meet, when amazing light creates a union and you are not sure where the sea ends and the sky begins. Those of you who have had this experience may have a deeper inkling, a hint, a dim but very real knowledge of Jesus, the light, when he was being baptized by John. John's baptism of Jesus in a cleansing, blessing ritual with ancient roots suddenly took on a new meaning as Jesus was baptized with not just water, but fire and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the light to all, now would usher into the old world the promise of grace through baptism. God's grace, which John Wesley would later call prevenient grace, offered to all down through the ages a step towards new life and salvation. Like water meeting sky, the old ways represented by John met the new beginning called Jesus. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, born 6 months before him. Like many only sons described in the Old Testament, he had been born of deeply religious, elderly parents. Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, also was an older guy, the old ways, while Mary, his mother, was young, the new ways. John the Baptist was a holy man who entered the Judean wilderness, where he lived off of, as we are told, honey and locusts, dressed humbly in the skins of animals, and spent his life in prayer. He could be seen as a model of hermit monks, cloistered nuns, or later the desert fathers and mothers living in a life of meditation and offering prayers to God. And John had a following. Some believed he was the Messiah, which he was quick to correct. When he left the wilderness and went to the Jordan, he blessed those who came repenting their sins. Again, he knew he was not the Savior. He knew Jesus was. He knew and told all who came to him that he could only bless them with water. He told them another was coming who would bless them with the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus arrived to be baptized by John in the Jordan, and as we heard from Z, just as Jesus rose up from the water, he saw the sky torn open, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. And a voice was heard, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Then in verse 12 of Mark, we are told the same Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. You didn't hear this today. Where he would spend 40 days. But that's another story. Reading and rereading, walking with this text, preparing for this sermon, I was struck with three thoughts. First, I've already shared with you how water and sky become one, and that powerful experience we are able to sometimes share. I was also struck with John as a human symbol of the old ways, a deeply religious man who meets Jesus as if two meeting on a bridge, and the old and the new touched as sky and water did in the image mentioned before. But a third idea has been nibbling at me as I've listened to this story, playing again and again like a song on an iPod plugged into my ear and circling inside my head. Now, a confession, I don't have one, and I don't listen to one, but I've watched my two kids listen to theirs. It is a story we do not hear, the story of John, who may have been orphaned of earthly parents at a young age, given the fact that they were so elderly when he was conceived. Imagine an only boy child knowing that his very name was given to his father by God, knowing he was born for a special reason. There are many silences in John's story. Who took care of him? When did he enter the wilderness? How many years was he there? Did he stay there? And like all wilderness stories, like Abraham and Moses, what happened to John while he lived in that wilderness? What of the old ways would he learn? What visions and dreams and holy moments with God did John experience while living as one set apart? Now we who live so close to the wilderness are blessed. We are allowed an opportunity to watch as the tips of mighty trees seem to draw invisible circles onto the gray, cloudy skies. We hear the booms of heavy limbs bumping in the wind. We watch as snow falls, one slow flake at a time, increasing into rushes of white. Or on bitterly cold mornings, such as this, where it was minus 17 in Penobscot, I was told. We see sea fog rise from the bay like ghostly dancers. And like last night, many nights are starry. Moonlight on rushing tides make us pause, and walking in the night, we hear the owl calls, the coyote yips, the loon moans. We dodge the turkeys who are bold enough to cross the road in front of us. We dodge the fox and the deer, the river otters, the squirrels, as they amble across our paths. We live close to the wild ones, and most of us do, I believe, take time to pray, breathing in God's natural beauty. Now, in this time of deep, cold winter, but when spring comes round again we will rejoice, listening as the first tree frog gives his or her chorus, although Laura complained it used to keep her awake at night, seeing a bright green stem emerge from the dried yellow grasses as yellow and white crocus begin to bloom. We who live so close to the wilderness are maybe able to experience wonder in some of the ways that John the Baptist did. And in that wonder, maybe we will be able to open ourselves up to the great grace that was gifted to us by Jesus' birth. and our own baptism promise of God's ever-offered gift for us of eternal life. Amen.